Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, we're going to talk about how to live peaceably. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a world that wants peace, but has no idea how to get it. And there's so little peace between people in this world. Seems to be getting worse. But you have provided us with the opportunity, as much as lieth in us, to live peaceably with all men. We're going to seek to understand this morning what you mean by that, how that works. So I pray that you'll help us. I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you ever hear this before? If we could just all get along. You might have even said it. I don't know. Perhaps you've wished it at least. So we have this verse of scripture, Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, that says, if it be possible, isn't that an interesting statement? As much as lieth in you, and I'm going to emphasize that part of the verse this morning, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Of course, the question is it possible? So we want to pursue what makes it possible for us to live peaceably with all men. The word peace means a state of quietness or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. Perhaps you'll recall 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, where it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And then we have the vivid illustration in Mark chapter 4. We might turn there. In verse 35, we begin Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. He's talking to his disciples. They're going to get in a boat and cross the Sea of Galilee. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. That's what peace is, a great calm. A great calm in your heart, a great calm in your mind. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. That word means don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God that you can't understand, we don't understand how it works. It's absolutely amazing. It's beyond our comprehension, but it is real. The peace of God is able to keep your heart. That means your emotions can remain calm, like the sea when Jesus said, peace, be still. And the peace of God keeping your mind means that your thoughts can remain rational. There's not a lot of disturbance in your thinking. Everything is calm. Energy passes between persons. Sometimes through words, sometimes through emotions, sometimes through moods or attitudes or actions. And all of these are agents of energy that pass back and forth between people. And when that energy is agitated, there's no peace. Because the words and emotions and moods and attitudes and actions can be from anger and wrath and malice and things like that. But the energy of the peace of God can reverse all of that and make everything calm. Now, I'm not an electrician. I had to study up on this a little bit. But from what I understand, in your home, there are hot wires and there are neutral wires. Is that right? And the hot wires carry the actual electricity and provide the current for all the things in your house. But the neutral wires provide what is called grounding. In other words, if the hot wires are not grounded, the electricity from the hot wires can get out of control and shock you when you use an appliance or start a fire and burn down your house. Grounding prevents those things. As we interact with people through words and emotions and moods and attitudes and actions, those things can get out of control and create fires between people, figuratively speaking. But the peace of God provides grounding and prevents all of that from happening. Why is there no peace between people? Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, I want to draw your attention to that middle statement, as much as lieth in you. Something is required in you to contribute to peace with others. In your personal life, if it is full of agitation, you'll find it difficult to get along with other people. So you need to be grounded with the peace of God. Consider the agitation that existed between the Pharisees and Jesus. Did you ever notice that? There's a great deal of friction between Jesus and the Pharisees. Well, it's on the part of the Pharisee. Let's just stroll through the book of Matthew, beginning in Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Then in the same chapter, drop down to verse 34. But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils." Then over to chapter 12 and verse 2. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." Same chapter in verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Same chapter, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." chapter 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Same chapter, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Poor Pharisees. Chapter 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Chapter 19, verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" Chapter 22, verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" Now, if you had somebody following you around all the time and kept agitating, trying to trip you up in your talk, I'm sure that this is only a little bit of what actually happened. We're just given a taste of it. They were constantly there, nipping. But Jesus identified the problem. Matthew chapter 22, verse 18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness. Now, do you know what Isaiah said about the wicked? In Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked." These people had no peace. There was constant agitation inside of them. As much as lieth in you, what lies in you? As long as there are agitating things inside of you, you will find it extremely difficult to live peaceably with others. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. "But now ye also put off all these." He's telling them to put this off as though there were problems, at least among some of the believers in the church at Colossae, with anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And in the beginning of verse 9, lying. You're a born again Christian. Being in Christ, you have put on the new man, verse 10. So things like anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and lying should not be characteristic of you. It should, none of these things should be coming from your heart. But if they are, you won't be a very friendly person. There are two boats. People in one boat are just sitting very calmly. People in the other boat like to rock the boat. I could use the same kind of illustration for a Ferris wheel. You ever in a Ferris wheel bucket where somebody likes to rock the bucket? Do you know I never got on a Ferris wheel from the time I was about 6 or 7 years old until I was 67 years old or something like that? Because when I was 6 or 7 years old, I was in a bucket, and back in those days, the Ferris wheel buckets were not like they are today, you know. I was in a Ferris wheel bucket with two of my cousins, and they liked to rock it. And I went forward and was laying. We weren't strapped in, and we were at the top. And I was laying on the bar, and they caught me. That's not fun. Anyway, back to the boat. So you've got one group of people that like to rock the boat, and the other people like it nice and calm. And so the people that like to rock the boat say to the people in the calm boat, "Let's hold hands." Now, if they do that, do you think the calm boat is going to slow down the rocking boat, or is the rocking boat going to cause the other boat to rock? If what is inside of you is a lot of agitation, and you try to be friends with other people, that agitation is going to have an effect on your relationships. As much as lieth in you. So he says here in this chapter, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, what should be in you? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How is this possible? Well, let's look at a couple of things. Back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. First of all, we need to pray. We need to learn how to pray properly. He says in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And what will be the result of a proper prayer life? The peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds. Be careful for nothing. It's the same word, Strong's number, as in Matthew chapter 6, verse 35. Take no thought. Don't worry about it. Is it possible to worry and pray at the same time? But God says that's not a good thing. If you're really praying to me and asking for my help, and you understand who I am and what I can do, why are you worrying about the outcome? So he says, don't worry about it. Don't let your life be filled up with care. Pray. Supplicate. Be intense in your prayer. Plead with me for some things. In supplication, show me that you really are trusting in me for the outcome. And before you ever get an answer, thank me ahead of time. That will also demonstrate to me that you are trusting me for the outcome. And when we are really trusting God for the outcome, He will fill our hearts and minds with peace. And we won't understand how it works, but it will. Then in the same passage, He says, first pray, then think. Think about the right things. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There's lots of things for us to think about in the world, isn't there? Unfortunately, as we have to think about things regarding the election that's coming up, some of it isn't very pleasant, is it? In fact, most of what's in the news isn't very pleasant. And so we need to concentrate in focusing our minds on the right things as much as we can. And when we do, here's the promise in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do put the things you think about into practice, and the God of peace shall be with you. And then there's this, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Focus your mind on the Lord. Pray, and pray in such a way that you demonstrate to God that you really do trust in him for the outcome. Focus on all of the right things in life, the good things, the honest things, the virtuous things, and keep your mind focused on the Lord and what will lie within you. Peace. There's one more element to this. Go to Isaiah 32, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Righteousness is an action concept. We talk about a holy God and a righteous God. A holy God describes his internal character, what he is. Righteousness describes his external character, what he does. God is righteous because he always does the right thing. He gives us his righteousness so that we have the capacity to always do the right thing. And look what it says, when we always do the right thing, the work of righteousness shall be what in our lives? Peace. Why? Because it gives us a clear conscience. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh. He's not talking about water baptism, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. There is no substitute for a good conscience toward God. Where do we get that? We get it from the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then when it is reinforced by the way we live, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. And that is the expression of this verse in Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17. The work of righteousness. When we do the right things, when our lives are characterized by doing the right things, we'll have a clear conscience toward God, and the result will be peace. But there's another part of the verse. And it says this. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. The effect of righteousness. What does doing the right thing produce? It produces quietness, a state of calm and peace. It produces assurance, a state of safety and security. And he says there's no end to it because it lasts forever. You lay down in your bed at night, it's all quiet. You're alone with your thoughts. Do your thoughts accuse you of wrongdoing? Do your thoughts excuse you of doing right? That's the work of the conscience, Romans chapter 2 and verse 15. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. What lies in you? James chapter 3 and verse 18, righteousness will bear fruit. If we're doing the right thing and we have a clear conscience, and included in all of those right things that we do, praying to God, demonstrating to him that we are depending upon him for the outcome, trusting him, not in ourselves, not worrying about it. We're just totally depending upon him for the outcome. We're also, and I'm going to have a senior moment. What were my other points? I got to look back here. Oh, yeah, thinking. Thinking. Thinking about all the right things and keeping your mind focused on the Lord. All of that is part of doing the right thing. James chapter 3 and verse 18. James chapter 3 and verse 18. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Having the right thoughts, having the right prayer life, keeping your mind on good things, keeping your mind focused on the Lord, and always doing the right thing bears fruit. Why does he use the term fruit? When we use the term fruit, what do you think of? What's the fruit that comes to your mind? Apples? Oranges? Pears? Why does he use the term fruit as a metaphor in Scripture? And in a place like this? Does an apple tree eat apples? Daniel, did you ever see an apple tree eat an apple? No. That would be funny, wouldn't it? Apple trees don't eat apples. Grapevine doesn't eat grapes. Those plants produce fruit so that others will benefit. Why do we do the right thing? Why do we have the right prayer life? Why do we think about the right things? Why do we have our mind focused on the Lord? Why do we always do the right thing? So that we can boast about it? So that we can get up here and say, hey, this week I did everything right. And everybody applauds for me, right? No. It's so that we can have an impact on other people's lives. The fruit of righteousness is the ability to make peace. So what does he say in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. What makes it possible? Whatever lies within you. And if the peace of God dwells in your heart, because you've been praying in the right way, so that the peace of God that passes understanding keeps your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, because you've been keeping your mind thinking about all of the right things so that the God of peace will be with you. You've been having your mind focused on the Lord throughout the day as you go through your various activities, so that he will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on him. As you do all the right things, because of what lies in you, the peace of God, you will have the capacity to live peaceably with others. So what's your prayer life like? Are you close to the Lord? Can you converse with him at any moment and sense his presence with you? What's your thought life like? Even though you are surrounded by things that bombard your minds and your thoughts from the world, are you able to refocus and keep your minds turned to the things of the Word and the things of truth and honesty and virtue? Are you able to keep your mind focused on the Lord throughout the day? Is righteousness producing fruit in your life? What lies in you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the peace that passes understanding. Thank you that it keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that your peace will dwell in our hearts, so that what lies within us is this peace that is beyond comprehension and is so effective in our lives that we are able to make peace with those around us. Lord, may we not be the agitators, but may we be the ones who can be the calming element in every tense situation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.